When it comes to Wisconsin's upcoming race for Senate, it can seem like the two candidates, Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold, couldn't be more different. And there's one issue in particular that stands out these days: national security.
That issue took a back seat 5 years ago when the two candidates first squared off. But as of right now, anyway, it's looking like it's going to be front and center this time around, in part because of terror attacks in Paris and in California. According to our next guest, the rematch could give us the sharpest, starkest debate over war, terrorism, and America's role in the world of any Senate race out there in the country in 2016.
Craig Gilbert joins us now. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and writes the Wisconsin Voter blog about politics and elections. Craig, welcome back.
Nice to be with you.
How far apart are Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold and their ideas about national security?
Yeah, they really don't have a lot in common. I mean, they don't have a lot in common on most issues, but there's a few things going on here. One is the possibility of national security playing a bigger role post-Paris and after the California attacks and the rise of ISIS than it did in the first Feingold-Johnson election in 2010. Two, you've got two senators with a lot of differences on foreign policy and national security. And three, you also have two senators that, you know, have a platform and a history on these issues. I mean, Johnson is the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and he is also serving on the Foreign Relations Committee after coming into politics with no foreign policy experience. And Feingold has a long history on these issues, the votes he's taken. He wrote a book about 9/11 and the response to 9/11. He served as a diplomat in the Obama State Department. So it's really in a lot of ways, a model debate, a clear contrast in a year when, like I said, national security could be a factor.
Well, how big do you think it could be? Let's say that national security, the threat of terrorism, keeps on looming large as we get all the way up to that November deadline. How big do you think the impact could be when we take stock of how voters are going to feel come ballot day?
Well, you have to sort of accept the fact that it normally does not play much of a role. I mean, people that political scientists will tell you that it's just really the economy is most times a much more dominant driver of how people vote. It takes a special set of circumstances, you know, like a 9/11 kind of attack or being in the middle of a major war, for foreign policy and national security to play a bigger role. And that those ingredients could be in place, but we don't know because, you know, we're speaking right now in the kind of aftermath of Paris and San Bernardino. But a year from now, or less than 10 months from now, we don't know if national security will be an even bigger deal or whether it will have receded. I mean, so you have to. I don't want to overstate it, but compared to elections in the recent past, you know, when you certainly 2008, 2010, 2012. And 2014, it just has not been a major factor in presidential and midterm elections. And there's a chance it could be a bigger factor this time around.
Well, given the stage that's being set right now, do you see this race as being the biggest race for Senate seats come 2016?
It's definitely in the top two or three. You know, kind of depends on how you define it. But, you know, I think most people think of Mark Kirk from Illinois as being the most vulnerable incumbent, certainly the most vulnerable incumbent Republican. But then Ron Johnson would be right up there behind him. And when you consider the fact that, you know, Ron Johnson's an incumbent who has been polling consistently behind his challenger, Russ Feingold, in the polls, for example, the Marquette Law School has done. And when you consider Wisconsin's history in presidential elections of voting Democratic, and when you consider how long it's been since Republicans in Wisconsin won a Senate race in a presidential year, those are all very tough things for Ron Johnson to overcome. And I think Republicans are hoping that one factor that could boost him is national security and foreign policy. If this turns out to be kind of a liability for Democrats 10 months from now.
Now, you spoke with both these guys recently. How do they see each other in broad strokes when it comes to national security?
Well, there's always, you know, kind of people tend to paint their opponents with very broad brushes. And some of this kind of fits in the classic Democratic and Republican kind of stereotypes. But if you talk to Russ Feingold about Ron Johnson, he views him as somebody who's just kind of knee-jerk, goes to the military solution, unilateral, hasn't learned kind of some of the lessons of the past about the costs of boots on the ground. If you talk to Ron Johnson about Russ Feingold, he doesn't take national security seriously. He's voting against the Patriot Act and other issues. He's not tough enough, and we shouldn't be ruling out. I mean, there are real policy differences there when you get past the rhetoric. I mean, there's clearly a difference about, you know, how they talk about military force. I mean, Ron Johnson has explicitly said, you know, significant numbers of U.S. troops to go into Iraq and Syria to displace, to try to displace ISIS and take their territory away. Russ Feingold, who was one of the votes against the Iraq war in 2003, absolutely opposed to that idea. There's probably some common ground when you get past that. They both want to beef up intelligence. In some ways, the difference between President Obama and his critics on actual concrete policy steps to fighting ISIS are not as dramatic as you might think from the rhetoric. But this is one area where some Republicans are calling for boots on the ground, and President Obama has ruled out, you know, major ground forces. That's clearly one area of difference.
We're talking to Craig Gilbert right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He recently wrote a piece exploring the different approaches being taken by Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson on the issue of national security. And he says that the rematch between the two of them could give us the sharpest debate over war, terrorism, and America's role in the world of any Senate race in the country in 2016.
You can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. If you're an undecided voter, will national security be one of the biggest issues on your mind as you think about which candidate you'll vote for? If you've already made up your mind between Johnson and Feingold, whose approach to national security do you favor? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking right now with Craig Gilbert of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He recently wrote a piece on the issue of national security in Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Will national security be on your mind, do you think, at the ballot box in 2016? And if so, what will determine which candidate you vote for? And whose approach to national security do you agree with, at least thus far? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Craig, let's look at the candidate's approach to the aftermath of 9/11. In this case, Russ Feingold was a sitting senator and voted as a lone vote against the Patriot Act. How did Russ Feingold frame that vote now, and how does Ron Johnson see it?
Well, the Patriot Act is an interesting issue because it does cross some partisan lines. As you mentioned, Russ Feingold was the only vote in the Senate against the Patriot Act. Jim Sensenbrenner, who was chairman of the House Judiciary Committee at the time, was the lead author on the Patriot Act. But you jump ahead to 2015, and there's kind of a bipartisan effort led by Jim Sensenbrenner to moderate the Patriot Act and to curb at least one kind of significant surveillance power in the Patriot Act, which is the kind of mass collection of phone records that tell that indicate, you know, who Americans have called and when they called, the duration of their calls. So Congress, on a big bipartisan vote, passed a law this summer to end the bulk collection of phone record data. Ron Johnson voted for that bill, but he kind of voted for it holding his nose. He voted for it because he said it was the only way to preserve some other aspects of the Patriot Act. But he says he would support something that Marco Rubio is going around proposing, which is to basically undo the Sensenbrenner tweak and restore this particular power for the government to collect and store phone records. So there is a difference between the two candidates on that issue, but it's a difference that does cross some party lines because you have some Republicans on the right kind of agreeing with Feingold and agreeing with Sensenbrenner that the Patriot Act went too far and that there are at least some surveillance powers in the Patriot Act that ought to be curbed. Ron Johnson takes a slightly different view there.
And I guess it's worth asking at this point, if you had this conversation with Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold before the Paris attacks, before the California attacks, wondering if any of that changed, if their opinions on surveillance, government surveillance, might have changed in the wake of those
attacks. Yeah, well, no, I mean, I talked to them both since the Paris attacks, and I kind of talked to them the week of the California attacks. But no, I don't think that would change. I think, in fact, I think that Ron Johnson would say that Patriot Act needs to be stronger, and he would say the government needs this particular surveillance power that I just talked about. But again, Jim Sensenbrenner would tell you otherwise. It's also a case that, you know, it's a power and a tool that the government had before the Paris attacks and leading up to the California attacks. It really wasn't until about a week ago that that the government was effectively banned from collecting these records, and even now they can still get those records from the phone companies, just they can't store them. So, you know, sometimes these issues, which when you look at them may not have a profound impact on terrorism, take on a big political significance because of the symbolism they have. And again, the interesting thing about the Patriot Act issue and about some of these issues that get to civil liberties and surveillance powers is that they don't follow clean kind of ideological and partisan lines. You've got sometimes liberals like Russ Feingold and conservatives like Jim Sensenbrenner on similar sides.
And then another aspect of this race is how both candidates feel about the American invasion of Iraq. What did they say about how they're framing that, how they feel about it?
Well, Russ Feingold was on the within the Senate when, of course, we invaded Iraq under President Bush, and he was a very vocal opponent. He was also somebody that opposed the surge in 2007 and that for a long time was supporting and calling for troop cutbacks and faster withdrawal than we ultimately had. Ron Johnson is, you know, when you ask him about the 2003 invasion of Iraq, he basically says, you know, I wasn't in the Senate. What's passed is passed. That's not really the issue anymore. He does take a position on the surge and on the withdrawal from Iraq and argues that it was, Russ Feingold may argue that it was the original invasion of Iraq that kind of sowed the seeds for ISIS. Ron Johnson would say it was our pullout after the surge that kind of opened the door for ISIS. So there's kind of a different reading of history there. And obviously, as we discussed before, big difference on whether we should put boots back on the ground and try to kind of displace ISIS in Syria and Iraq and find a way to hold that territory to keep them from coming back.
And history aside, we are where we are. ISIS is a threat in the world today. And as we wrap up, how do the two candidates want to deal with ISIS? How does that distinguish them?
Well, they both want to... I think they both think that our intelligence should be beefed up and that should be better than it is. I think they both probably support a lot of things, a lot of different kinds of initiatives that have broad support when it comes to kind of cutting off the finances and the oil and other things. But the biggest difference, again, is this is sort of on the use of military power and military force in Iraq and Syria, and that is a pretty big difference. And it's a difference, again, what Ron Johnson is calling for is not something that all Republicans support. It's a matter of debate, even in the Republican presidential race, whether we should be committing a sizable ground force to Iraq and Syria or not. But it is a difference in this Senate race, and it's one of the reasons why the contrast between these candidates is so stark on this and other issues, some of the issues we haven't even discussed, like Iran and the nuclear deal.
Craig, we leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
That was Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes the Wisconsin Voter blog about politics and elections.